The early onset of record heat this summer is causing havoc in many parts of the country. In a few minutes, we'll hear about how heat and drought is impacting water supplies and agriculture in California and Iowa. But first, we check in on Texas, where the state's aging electric grid is under pressure. So much so, the people there are being asked to conserve energy to avoid power cuts. You remember millions lost power for days during February's deadly blackout. Katie Watkins of Houston Public Media reports.
Vita Salzman lost power for nearly 4 days at her Houston home during February's winter storm.
It got below freezing in the house. You know, you could see your breath.
Several pipes burst and the family's pet fish froze to death. Salzman, a mother of two, says because of what happened in February, she felt overwhelmed when the state grid operator warned of potential blackouts again due to the heat wave.
Here we are, second time this year, having to worry about how do I secure power to my home? How do I keep the living things inside my home alive in extreme weather? I can't believe we're having to discuss this the second time this year.
For 5 days last week, the state grid operator warned that power supply ran low. Residents were asked to conserve energy and set their thermostats to 78 degrees. Forecasters anticipate a hotter-than-average summer for Texas this year, and many are anxiously wondering how the grid is going to handle the coming months. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says he's frustrated with state legislators for not doing more to prevent power failures.
The leadership in Austin did not really address adequate reserve capacity. They didn't do that. And so now, even before we're getting to the summer, people across the state, not just in the Houston area, run the risk of rolling blackouts.
The heat wave brought higher than average temperatures for June, setting a record electricity demand as people cranked up their air conditioners. Supply was also tight as more thermal plants were offline than expected. The grid operator says it's looking into why that happened, though some experts point to aging infrastructure. Coal, gas, and nuclear make up the majority of the grid, and stagnant winds also meant wind turbines were producing less power. Still, by Texas summer standards, it wasn't that hot, not compared to August.
To see the grid conditions get so tight was really worrisome.
That's Dan Cohen, a professor at Rice University. He says he's concerned about the potential for rolling blackouts in July and August, especially if there's a major heat wave.
The fact that the grid was barely able to eke by and satisfy what we had a week ago doesn't bode well for how well it's going to hold up if we get, you know, 10 degrees hotter temperatures and correspondingly higher demand in August.
But Cohen says, unlike in February, when the cold damaged power plants that weren't winterized, any summer blackouts should theoretically be short-lived. It would come down to demand exceeding supply during the hottest part of the day, but stabilizing at night. Still, he says he's hopeful for the future as Texas is poised to see a large growth in solar in the next few years. For Here and Now, I'm Katie Watkins in Houston.
And I'm Steve Milne from Cap Radio in Sacramento. California is seeing record-setting hot temperatures earlier than usual this year. It's coinciding with the drought that is ravaging the state's reservoirs, making it harder for farmers to grow crops and for endangered fish species to survive. I spoke with Jeff McCormack, whose family has been farming on land along the Sacramento River Delta for 125 years.
We've been in business since 1896 and fourth generation. My son is the fifth.
The family grows 600 acres of pears, 50 acres of cherries, and about 90 acres of wine grapes. And since their property borders the Sacramento River, they have a right to that water. It's called riparian rights. Last week, McCormack was among more than 6,000 farmers in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta watershed who received letters from the state warning that they may be cut off from diverting river water to their crops.
If they cut us off, and of course our pears are going to suffer, and well, the grapes, everything's going to suffer. So yeah, this is a pretty scary.
The State Water Resources Control Board is telling farmers that water could be curtailed until winter rains come.
In the letter, they mentioned if you don't stop diverting, you will be subject to fines up to $1,000 a day per pump. We have 12 or 15 pumps.
The main reason farmers are facing curtailment is because the drought is depleting California's reservoirs, which feed into rivers, streams, and bays. Scientists say this year's drought is hotter and drier than previous ones. That means the water in California's reservoirs is evaporating faster.
It is quicker this year. Basically, we're seeing in the second year of this drought the same kind of low reservoir levels that we saw in the third year of the previous drought.
Jay Lund is with the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis. He says the state's more than 1,500 reservoirs are 50% lower than they should be this time of year.
And it's warm, so we're going to see that the cold water behind those dams does not remain cold very far downstream, and that's going to be problematic for some of the salmon as well.
Salmon need cold water from the bottom of the reservoirs to spawn, and the San Francisco Bay needs fresh water from the reservoirs to keep out the salt water that harms freshwater fish. The water level at one key reservoir, Lake Oroville, could reach historic lows by late August. With no water from the reservoirs, the only water left for farmers is groundwater. Michael Smith grows fruits and vegetables at Spreadwing Farm in the Yolo County town of Rumsey. He says groundwater is not always the best for agricultural irrigation.
The quality of that water is really an issue for certain crops. So we've decided, for example, we're just not going to plant fall vegetables this year because we don't have the water to be able to irrigate it.
Smith says he's been thinking a lot about crops that are well adapted to the desert-like conditions California farmers are now finding themselves in.
So the figs and the pomegranates are doing great. I think olives do great. You know, there's probably other desert-adapted crops. I expect that farmers in this area are going to be reconsidering what it makes sense to grow.
For Here and Now, I'm Steve Milne in Sacramento.
Like California, intense heat has also brought about a drought in Iowa, along with low water levels. People there are also being asked to conserve water. Joining us now is Iowa Public Radio's Clay Masters. Hi, Clay.
Hi, Tanya.
How widespread and severe is this drought in Iowa, and how does it compare to previous years?
Well, it is very dry, to say the least, and the driest it's been in almost a decade is what officials have been telling us. And it's affecting corn and soybean crops. Those are the two main crops that are grown in Iowa. Of course, we have a big livestock industry as well, but it's also putting a lot of stress on major urban areas. In Des Moines, the capital and the state's largest city, Des Moines Water Works is asking its 500,000 customers to cut back on their consumption, a cutback of lawn watering by 25%. And that's because one of the sources it gets its water from, the Raccoon River, is very low this year. They're in phase one of a four-phase water conservation plan, and they say they've only had to start implementing this thing one other time. To give you some kind of perspective overall in the state, about three-fourths of Iowa is either in what they classify moderate or severe drought. That's according to the latest national report from the U.S. Drought Monitor that came out last week. Now, we did get some rain over the weekend, and it was very welcome, but many officials across the state are saying, you know, it's not enough to right the ship at this point.
Oh, wow. There's so much here. The impact on crops this year, you've been talking with some folks in agriculture. What have they been telling you?
Yeah, of course, the rain that fell over the weekend has been welcome to those farmers. Farmers reported that the corn leaves have been curling and ground has been cracking in some areas of the state from the heat. The latest United States Department of Agriculture report shows that the corn condition is rated 56% good to excellent, and that's a drop of 7 percentage points from last week. Soybean emergence was 96% complete. That's 1 week ahead of the five-year average, and it's a 4% drop from the prior week. I talked with Joel DeYoung. He's a field agronomist with Iowa State University Extension. He's based in northwest Iowa, and that's where the drought is the most severe. And he's saying they've missed any of this rain in recent days, and it's a bigger pattern that they're seeing. He says where their Julys have been drier, springs and falls have been wetter. And he says right now farmers up there need the opposite. They need an above-average rainfall in July.
Although we've seen climate changes and rainfalls higher, the middle of summer in this part of the state in particular really has dropped. And so we add that long-term trend to the potential risk we have this year. That's increased the amount of angst that's out there as far as what's going to happen to our crop yields.
And so there is rain in the forecast in this coming week for much of Iowa. Joel DeYoung says it's kind of forecasted right now to miss his corner of the state. And altogether, it's just going to take a lot of rainfall to get where farmers feel comfortable. I mean, the soil in Iowa is great soil for growing things like corn and soybeans, the way that it's managed at holding that moisture. But there just isn't enough in its reserve in the soil this year, and the dryness is really impacting that right now.
Oh, Clay, we're just at the start of summer. On the issue of the water levels, what is the plan if levels don't improve?
Well, certainly in the urban areas, like I mentioned, Des Moines, their concern is just water rationing. They hope that they don't have to get there. They're remaining cautiously optimistic that consumers will cut back on lawn watering. For farmers, you know, certainly they have crop insurance that pays them out if they don't get the kind of yields. It's kind of a backup system there that they get paid for the product that they're putting out in their field so they can keep farming. You might remember last year's farmers were affected here by that derecho, kind of an inland hurricane that happened in August with straight line winds. That affected their bottom line. And so, I mean, it has been a challenge for farmers to overcome in recent years. But now we've got this new challenge with the drought that we haven't seen in almost a decade. And they're just hoping for some rain to come.
Clay Masters of Iowa Public Radio. Thank you so much, Clay.
You're welcome.